y'all do know that it's The Rock's fault that Shazam 2 was bad. You know that, right? Like, that's what did it. That was the nail in the coffin. And sadly enough, this is going to quite possibly be the second worst superhero movies. Well, no, because the first Shazam is okay. So I wouldn't say, and then I mean second because, of course, Captain Marvel, you bastards. Oh, boy. Can't wait for that shit show to start. But this Shazam 2 is it's bad. Now, it's not terrible, but it's just bad. And it's bad for one particular, like, outside of the fact that The Rock ego basically fucked them over horribly. And for some reason, WB just never saw it coming. Because, you know, why would an entertainment company understand entertainment? Fucking idiots. But it's simply the fact that the movie set itself up to just have one, two confrontations. Now, this is something that's similar in the recent Super Mario Brothers movie. And when I do my review on that, I'll talk about that one. But it's something that was blatantly obvious upon watching the Shazam movie, where things were set up and then they were immediately resolved. And then, like, the next time they mentioned them, they resolved them. And that is not a way to write a story. The movie felt as if it wanted to be three different movies in one, without no clear indication on whether they wanted Billy to be the main character or the, I can't remember his name, but the cripple brother to be the main character, or this unbeknownst, like Billy being the main character trying to keep the family focused, the cripple brother trying to be his own person, or the idea of Billy not wanting to accept or generally take in the role of being Captain Marvel. And I'm gonna call him Captain Marvel because that's his fucking name. Being Captain Marvel, and essentially, like, the responsibility of that job kind of being overwhelming for him because he is just a kid. That sounds like a much better storyline and plot than what we actually got. But, you know, again, you got crazy people running the asylum. So whatever on that point. The movie itself set it. The movie it is set up to where Billy and the family are essentially doing the superhero thing. But apparently they're bad at it, which is ironic considering the fact that Billy was basically held in high regard when he was just, like, screwing around as a superhero, rather than when they actually was trying to take the shit seriously. And you know, like, the newspaper reported on stuff that he was doing and people liked him and generally was intrigued by him and stuff like that. Yet now in this movie, apparently they still go around trying to save people, but they're bad at it, which is, it's just odd. You know, it's just really odd. Now, within this movie, it kind of went away from what was taken in with the first movie as them all having shared fractions of his power rather than having, like, the full-blown abilities like him. And instead, in this one, it kind of just showcased that all of them share the same powers, which, again, was very weird and off-putting because they're all not the titular character. They're pieces. And it was far more entertaining, and it basically could have did a lot more in terms of them using their powers to the fullest and being weak in certain aspects and good in the other aspects, and then you just have some of them make up for the shortcomings of others when they're working together, and you kind of just have the notion of, like, hey, you know, you're slowly seeing them come into the roles of their powers and their abilities and then bond more as a family than generally what they had. But you instead replace that with Billy just kind of being overbearing, but justified. But for some reason, the story tries to depict it as a negative, because he was overbearing because of the fact that they kept fucking up so much. And yet the story itself is trying to showcase that maybe he needs to chill out with the whole overbearing aspect. But literally, when they were on their own, or when some of them would go do their superhero thing by themselves, case in point, the crippled brother, he fucked up. Like, he, like, generally caused far more damage than he actually did good. And for some reason, this was taken as, well, this is him without Billy breathing down his neck. But it's like, it seemed as if it would make more sense if he was. And that's just a ridiculous thing. And again, that's a setup for a confrontation that essentially never goes anywhere, except for in the end when it's like, hey, maybe I should have just let y'all do your own thing. But there was no justification behind that. Nothing happens in the movie at all that basically gives you a window that shows that, hey, they did good on their own without Billy constantly trying to keep them all together. They can do their powers and do their stuff on their own, but they didn't. Hell, there isn't even a joke where the Cripple Brother basically calls himself Captain Every Power, and he says that Billy is his sidekick, even though, again, he should have just had the ability of flight. But essentially, now he has the same abilities that Billy has, and then it was like, all right, man, whatever. And then that was something that he called Billy in the first movie, but just realistically, just way out of touch when it comes to the script. But then you have it to where they're screwing up. Billy basically wants everyone to work together. Upon this happening, you then have the backlash from when the staff was broken from the first movie. And this called for the three sisters that they had on there. One, really old bitch that really shouldn't have been in this movie. Two, Lucy Liu, who honestly shouldn't have been in this movie. I'm pretty sure they paid her too much fucking money for this movie and they shouldn't have had her. And then you just find out later, mystery-wise, that they had a third sister. I bet you wonder, like, in terms of the age process, like, how old she was, if she was the younger of the sisters, and a god as well, even though most gods are depicted and have been considered beings, especially Greek gods, beings of pure perfection, so they don't get older, they don't grow, they don't age and shit like that, they're just perfect beings. It's an actual thing when it comes to the difference in statues between the Greeks and the Romans, as the Romans depicted actual humans while the Greeks depicted the gods and the gods, like, or like their skin and like everything, even like the smoothness of the statues are all perfect. While as with the Romans, they had like statues of Caesar and shit like that. And there's like different Caesars and whatnot. And then they actually had like wrinkles and folds within their faces. That's actually caring about historical stuff, but you know you just had these two old bitches and this young girl supposedly as these guys that have been around alive for like so many thousands of, like, for millions of years and whatnot, and then you just had to wonder, like, why would you go out of your way to get this super old bitch? Like, what sense did that make? Like, you could have used anybody, but you really god damn it just did not fit. I mean, hell, even Gal Gadot playing Wonder Woman is supposed to be someone that is a god, but has lived for like a couple of hundred years. So just, it did not fit. Damn it. But, that was a hard pull. And you could clearly tell, like, it was okay for them to do the whole comedic thing, but it's just one of those things where it's like, yo, acting-wise, I was like, this isn't really anything for the acting prowess. You're too old for the role. It's far more physically demanding, and then honestly the movie itself kind of squandered that notion because it lessened the whole action aspect, which realistically in a sequel, especially something that involves superheroes, you would generally try to bring up more of. But yeah, this one did it because, again, fucking up when it comes to just the simple basics of entertainment. So you have these sisters essentially coming after the staff that that's been broken, that really restricted the barrier between the gods and the mortal realm. Now that they have access to the mortal realm, they wish to retrieve something that was taken from them, which essentially was the powers of the gods that was given to Captain Marvel and his family, or the one that he shared with his family. And so then upon taking that those powers back, they will then be able to use those powers to recreate the Tree of Life that existed within the realm of the gods when their family was around, which honestly I thought was a pretty cool concept where essentially the sister's vendetta towards Captain Marvel and his family wasn't out of maliciousness towards them, but simply because of the fact that it was like, you know, you're wrong because you're using something that doesn't belong to you after it was stolen from our family. And yeah, like, you feel as if you have a right to it or like you're using it, but it's not yours. And there was actually a good little back and forth between her and Captain Marvel when they were sitting down that I actually liked, because it really explained very well, like, her feelings about the matter and everything. But again, just really wish it was like a younger person in this field, and then like the action scene itself could have went better. But so upon this happening, they somehow, like, through twists and turns, they're able to get the little apple that is the is the seed to bring forth the tree. Basically, you have Lucy Liu, who's all warmongering, and she just wants to destroy everybody, while the other sisters are more so like, we just kind of want our world to go back. There is a dog attacking some goddamn kids outside, and it is glorious. But but then you have it to where the story itself just kind of goes out of whack, where they just have a bunch of Greek monsters running around beating the shit out of people. And then they kind of just wrap up everything in a nice little family bow without really any type of consequence or problems coming to rise because of the actions that they had in the movie. And then again, you've seen this with how a lot of things were initially set up, and then it's generally they just kind of ended with a, they just set up something and then they just ended it. So it didn't really cause any type of confrontation or any type of struggle. It's just that, hey, this was a problem that I explained early on in the movie. And then just later on in the movie, they just went, hey, I'm sorry about that problem. I hope I can apologize for it. And it's like, nah, we're cool. And then they just moved on. And it's just really, really weak. It's just bad storytelling, very bad storytelling. And it's not the fact that this is like the bulk of the movie, but it's like essentially the movie itself just went from a startup, like the startup of a problem, to the next startup of a problem, to the next startup of a problem, to the next startup of a problem, to then go to the resolution of the first problem, resolution of the second problem, resolution of the third problem, resolution of the fourth problem, and the movie is over. You see how that doesn't really make any sense, or like have any type of notion of a conflict, that it just really doesn't, it doesn't do anything. You're not really getting an act one and act two. It just really goes from act one to act three. Like act one, act two, act three, it just goes act one, act three. And it's just a bad, bad way of doing storytelling. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. When they had the monsters rampage and they were just murking everybody, that was cool. But, you know, whatever. The small little moments of action does not a good movie make. But even then, the moments that they did have of them actually doing superhero stuff was too far and few between. And honestly, considering the factors of what was going on, it just kind of didn't make any sense that, you know, you have to deal with the fact that the family and the people are essentially growing, but the story itself didn't handle it as if that was something to be taken into consideration. It was like, hey, you had the older sister of the foster kids say that she gave up going to college to stay around to help out the family because of the fact that, hey, you know, there's a bunch of us, and you kind of also have Billy just wanting everyone to stay together so they could do the superhero thing. But it didn't come up as an issue. You know, it just immediately, she was just like, well, I went out and I had fun with people my own age, and so I'm cool now. And it's like, all right, I guess. Hell, the movie begins with everyone saying bye mom to their foster mom, and they call her, everyone calls her mom, and they say bye mom, and then Billy just go bye Rosa, and then it's like, oh, obviously we're gonna do, eventually he's gonna call her mom, but the movie just ends with him talking to her, and then she finds out that he's a superhero and everything, and then she just goes, okay, and it was like, I just want to see my Billy, and then she was like, you be careful, and he go, don't worry mom. And it was like, what the fuck is this coming from? Like, that wasn't earned. Like, there is no interaction between those two characters within the time in which he called her Rosa in the very beginning of the movie. And then you just have the ending of the movie where he just calls her mom. And nothing happened to showcase that he would essentially accept this relationship, or you had anyone talk to him about how he's kind of being a dick for doing something like that. Or, you know, you still got the lingering feelings of his mother, even though you squashed that from the first movie. Any of that could have been brought up, and it would have made for some type of middle to fix that relationship, but they didn't have anything like that. So it really squandered the moment, and it just kind of felt empty because of the fact that it wasn't earned. He just called her mom for no reason. It was like this whole time he never called her mom, and it just took this time for him to just go mom, and it just didn't make any sense. And I was like, hell, he could have had a moment where while he was feeling down about dealing with the family, she came and talked to him about something, and he just opened up a little bit to her. And that would have been enough. That would have been great, but he didn't do that. Yeah, also, you had the old dude that gave him his powers in the first place, just kind of running around with the cripple brother, and they was just like doing their own little Scooby-Doo adventure thing, and it's just, ugh, it was nothing. It was like the whole movie was nothing. But it ends, they try to do the whole little self-sacrifice superhero thing, and it just doesn't matter. You see a cameo of Wonder Woman, and there's just really awkwardness throughout all of it, and then it just goes off. And it's understandable that it would do so bad, because again, the movie wasn't interesting at all. Nothing of value is done in this movie. Hell, they don't even insinuate that there might be some type of confrontation between him and Black Adam at some point. There's nothing of that nature whatsoever within this movie. And it's just terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. So overall, this movie is not worth seeing. It's just not worth seeing. It's not even worth wasting your time for, especially if you happen to be in the know. So you think like, okay, you have to see this in order for other movies to make sense. Well, if you know what you know, then you know that DC is basically rebooting everything. So all of those prior movies aren't really going to matter. You know for a fact that they're probably going to keep the characters within the Peacemaker show, because that's James Gunn's baby. But for the most part, all this other DC stuff is about to go and have a clean slate. So this doesn't matter. And any type of notion that you could have gotten from some type of a confrontation between Black Adam and Captain Marvel is just basically null and void now. Because of the failure of this movie, they're generally not going to do another Shazam movie. So there won't be another standalone Shazam movie for a long fucking time. And even then, I doubt they'll do it. More so, he's probably going to be a supporting character in something else later on. But, you know, different actors and crew and whatever later on, then he would be, like, carrying his own movie. So that's just sad to see. Because, again, this is a character who generally is someone that could beat the shit out of Superman. Seeing as how his stuff is dealing with magic, and that's one of Superman's weaknesses. And it's just sad that essentially they handled him like this. Now, getting into the context of why The Rock is the one who ruined this, you have to remember, upon The Rock first being contacted to play Black Adam, this motherfucker came out of his way to say that he wanted to play an anti-hero. For the first interaction, he wanted his own movie where he's an anti-hero, because The Rock is stupid. He is not a smart person, all right? When it comes to this entertainment thing, he knows how to star in movies where he gets the money and, like, you know, they're somewhat okay blockbusters. But if you look at his failures in comparison to his hits, no, just no. But he is someone who essentially, much like with Vin Diesel, has this arrogance of an ego, to where these motherfuckers actually have in their contracts that they can't lose a fight, they can't be put on their backs, they can never hit the ground and shit like that. Dumb shit, where you then have to go with choreography to help keep their egos in check, where they feel like that they're these superheroes or whatever. Which doesn't make sense, considering that upon his days and on the WWF, he was essentially the bad boy in comparison to everyone beloved Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it doesn't make sense that that he would then now try to make himself seem in just a crazy positive light when he there's so many movies that he do that is just terrible. And it's like, dude, if you dropped your ego, you could do so much more. And probably if you were able to tell what a good fucking script was, you could then be a part of so much more. But upon him saying that he wanted to be an anti-hero and he wanted his own standalone movie to play Black Adam, I would have said, go fuck yourself. That would have been an immediate no, and I would have replaced him with someone else. And most likely Batista, who has proven to be a far better actor than The Rock has ever been, as well as a better person. Or like making the decisions to be in better movies. Like even the trail of movies that are in Batista's repertoire for that are like low tier or like movies that a lot of people don't know about. Like he's acted with Jeff Goldblum. What's her name? The chick from Contact. Never died before until she did Elysium with Matt Damon. Damn, what is her name? I cannot remember. But it was like a movie with them in a hotel. And I was like, that's actually a pretty good movie. Hotel Artemis. And I was like, that's actually a pretty good movie. He did the Knock at the Cabin, which honestly it's not that bad, but it's M. Night Shyamalan, so, you know, whatever. But he'll never forgive. like, well, you could forgive, but never forget The Last Airbender. But He wouldn't have fit the look as well as The Rock did, but honestly, I would have contacted Batista upon The Rock basically just screwing over the idea of who Black Adam is. And if you've seen the Black Adam movie, and that's just a garbage shit show of a movie, then you would understand that, yeah, you kind of fucked over generally who is considered one of the biggest and baddest villains within DC. And again, Shazam and Captain Marvel and Black Adam, these are two characters who generally can fuck up Superman. And you denied showcasing them go blow for blow. Hell, the movie itself could have been him finally getting to Earth after traveling for 5,000 years or whatever, like the original story, like his original origin story. He's coming there and he just starts whooping ass. Then you have it to where he's forcing the kids to say Shazam so he can take the powers from them. Some of them might actually die. More so, they probably would have did the Cripple Brother as they keep trying to force, like, they have a closer relationship than anyone else, and it's like, whatever. Even though he's very much a dick, I don't understand why these movies don't understand that, or why they keep thinking that, yeah, if you have a smart mouth kid, like, for some reason, that means that he's likable. But it's like, no, the Cripple Brother was very much a dick. He was a dick in the first movie, and he's a dick in this movie, and it just doesn't make any sense. Also, what makes less sense is that he gets bullied. He's crippled. He walks with crutches, and he gets bullied. They straight up punch him, and no one does a goddamn thing. Fucking weird. Just make no sense. That doesn't even track right to me in terms of just this is what will happen. If he was just a typical nerd, sure, I could let that pass. But in today's standard, in the current generation, was like, yeah, those guys who are picking on him, like, you would see that on camera, they would get fucking expelled, that shit. And it's like, you really can't pull the whole you get bullied crap in school anymore, especially if you're going by today's standards of education and just how the schools are. But he is someone who is handicapped, and he's being mistreated like this, and everyone just kind of lets this shit happen. And it's just fucking just, it's upsetting and weird because there's no reciprocity there. It would have made sense if essentially now, since Billy is cool and they're all family, if when this shit happened, Billy showed up and then essentially got them to leave him alone. Well, he would then take it as a negative of him still hovering over him, trying to control him, as he supposedly states within this movie. It would have been something that gave you another insight as to where, like, yeah, Billy is hovering, trying to protect me. I can fight my own battles. I don't really care about them bullying me. I'm a superhero now. So, you know, as long as I keep my identity, like, I'm cool playing this role. And Billy's like, well, they're picking on you and you're my brother and I don't like that. And it's like, well, Billy, let me fight my own battles. And that would have been a nice little confrontation between them that would have it shown stuff. And then from there, you can see him trying to leave, and then the girl would have helped him, and then he would have walked her to class and everything. You still would have got that delivery, but also he would have gotten more with Billy trying to be overbearing, and then still have the moment of when they're at lunch and then Billy is contacting him so he can try and talk to him, and then they're both of them were discussing how their siblings are really overbearing and they don't really like it. That would have been fine. That would require actually good writing, but that would have been fine as a confrontation. But again, going back to the whole Black Adam thing, you would have had a much better movie of these two characters going for blows. The whole movie itself is inquiring just the dark nature of Black Adam, and then kind of taking this super puffy version of superhero, of the superhero that is been the Shazam movies, and then just establishing this darker tone to it with an actual titular villain to his character, which then would have put a lot of things in perspective for Billy, and it just would have been a dope thing to finally see of these two titans going at it, and it basically have a feel of, like, you know, superpowered people fighting, something that you only got glimpses of within the Man of Steel movie for the times that they did it at the very end when he was fighting the Kryptonians. But now you have it between Captain Marvel and Black Adam, and it would have been amazing. But you decided to stroke The Rock's ego because you desperately thought that, oh yeah, he's a blockbuster star. He's going to bring in the customers. People are going to want to see the movie with him in it. So let's just give him Black Adam, make him an anti-hero, and give him the shitty fucking movie that doesn't explain anything and make his origin story really stupid. And then for some reason say that Superman would be someone that could keep him in check. Again, Superman and magic don't fucking mix. But I mean, hell, how hard would it have been to end the Black Adam movie by showing Billy pop up and then in Shazam 2 by having them contact Billy and saying that, well, whenever we need you, we'll contact you for something. Do you see how that would have, it would have fit, it would have worked, it would at least made that have some sense, but no, just no. Now, the acting in this movie also really, really subpar. There's generally funny kid moments, but nothing that just kind of keeps your attention for long. It's just sporadic and stupid. And the acting itself kind of shows with the weakness of the script as well. And it's like, yeah, there's funny moments, but they only like funny can only carry something so far, whether it's not running off a nostalgia bait or like just gut busting funny. If it's just mildly entertaining, then that's all it'll ever be is mildly entertaining comedy wrapped around a shitty script. And that's generally what they had. And because of that fact, it just really made everything just subpar within the actors acting the different parts. And there's just so much that was just drugged down because of that fact. You had Billy essentially almost about to be 18, yet for whatever reason, when he would turn into Captain Marvel or Shazam, he essentially acted far more immature than the current Billy did. And it didn't make any sense because you barely got to see the current 17-year-old Billy do anything that would coincide that, like, yeah, he would still have this immature nature and absolutely grew up at all. It was damn near like I'm a 17-year-old kid, but when I transform into a superhero, I turn into a 13-year-old, and it didn't make any fucking sense. And it just made it to where it was like a lot of the decisions and a lot of the things and a lot of the story was just carried by him just being completely idiotic. And it was one thing for it was like, you know, he does have the wisdom of Solomon, but he was being unable to even pronounce the word. That's okay. Like, that's okay as a joke. But then it didn't go with the fact that everyone else was able to study and learn and look up shit. But they gave the exact same amount of time for an info dive for all the characters, including Billy, and he not be someone who came up with anything. And it doesn't make any sense. But it's like, that's what they did in order to try and keep the whole immaturity thing. And it did not fit. And there's a hell, whenever you have a question, you normally ask the older sister. And it's like, well, her character is supposed to focus more on the intelligence than the powers, which would have made sense if you would have kept to that notion, but you didn't. But also, if he was just all he had to do was explain that he establishes or he respects her opinion more than everyone else, as she is older, she is wiser, and she has good ideas. It also didn't make any sense that everyone essentially. They confronted him for doing that, but it's not as if he was ever wrong to do that. You see what I'm saying? It's not like she made ideas and they were bad. She always came up with good ideas. It was shit that just didn't make any sense, where he was like, we need the family in order for everybody to work together. But the family was constantly saying, no, we don't. But every step within the movie, it just kept proving, yes, you do. And then there was no reciprocity because of that, because the movie itself ran on an act one, act three notion. So it just didn't go anywhere. Hell, they have a like Skittles are an important aspect in this movie because they're necessary for unicorns later on. Yet Skittles are only ever mentioned early on in the beginning of the movie for no reason, and that's it. And then just afterwards, it was like Skittles. Like, I know what to do. Get some Skittles. And again, that's just starting up something, and then you end on it. It just ends on it. There's nothing in between. Whereas, like, they showed the little sister, and she was like, "I just love Skittles. Like, I need Skittles." It was a clear, terrible product placement thing. And it's like you got to learn from the GOAT, which is the Power Rangers movie, and how they handled Krispy Kreme. That is the GOAT when it handled a product placement. And it's like if you can't learn from that, then there is no helping you. But for the most part, this movie was just whack. Not necessary to go see because it's not going to matter for anything. After they do the Flashpoint movie, everything is just going to get fucking wiped. So none of it matters. None of it matters. And that's just really, really sad. Well, at least they got the Blue Beetle movie coming out. That should be something to look forward to. Oh, wait! They fucked up Jaime's origin as well as made it to where the Scarab has a girl's voice that essentially isn't this murderous machine that's trying to kill everybody. And then you have Jaime being the voice of reason to try and stop it. Oh, I forgot about that. Well, whatever, DC. It's time to put old Yeller down.